We've got, of course, Notre Dame and Indiana coming up tomorrow. Crossroads Classic at Bankers Life Fieldhouse tomorrow. 2:30 is the tip-off. Pregame at 2:10 with Jack Nolan here on WSBT. And we are joined right now by Zach Osterman, who covers IU for the Indianapolis Star. How you doing tonight, Zach?
I'm great. How are you all?
Outstanding, my man.
We are doing very well. Let's start with this. It is the Crossroads Classic, and Mike Bray likes the Crossroads. Zach, what do you, from a fan standpoint, what do you think IU fans think of the Crossroads Classic?
You know, it's funny. There's actually, and I think I wrote about this last year, 2 years ago, one of the two. Tom can attest they all start to blend together at a certain point. But there's actually a fairly sharp divide. I mean, it's very popular with fans in Indianapolis, as you would imagine, because Indianapolis is you know, sort of the central power base for the IU sort of alumni network. And anytime Indiana plays in Indianapolis, fans really enjoy it. I think they really enjoy kind of the place that it's come to occupy on the holiday calendar. Out of state, and I don't want to cast too many generalizations. I'm sure I could find you people in Indianapolis that would rather Indiana be playing in more prominent sort of games against like a Kentucky or an Arizona, or you know, Indiana actually turned down a spot in the CBS Sports Classic a few years ago. That's with Kentucky, UNC, and UCLA, because it's the same day as the Crossroads Classic. But there is kind of a sharp divide. I think it's much more popular with fans in-state, and particularly in Indianapolis. And I think fans out of state just feel like Indiana should maybe be aiming a little bit higher. And that probably sounds a little bit elitist. Because, look, I mean, Indiana's playing ranked teams fairly consistently. It is pretty consistently a good RPI win for Indiana if they can pick it up. And I've seen Indiana's seasons turn around. I mean, a couple of years ago, I think Indiana's turnaround to a Big Ten title campaign started with coming back and beating Notre Dame in the Crossroads Classic. But yep, it is kind of a sort of, I guess, Fisher point in the IU fan base, particularly if you're kind of talking about in-state attitudes versus out-of-state attitudes.
It's kind of funny because we talk all the time about the parallels between Indiana basketball, Notre Dame football, and yep, hearing those things are like things that you would hear in regards to Notre Dame football fans, I think.
Absolutely. Like, this is the correlation of Notre Dame football fans saying, why are they playing Miami of Ohio,
exactly,
and Ball State and Temple and teams like that?
Yep, exactly.
All right, Zach, what are we going to see from this IU outfit when we go to Bankers Life Fieldhouse tomorrow? As far as, I know, you wiped the Indiana State loss off the board because that's the first game with Archie Miller and everything, but is this team close to putting together 40 minutes after what we've seen against Duke and then most recently last week at Yum Center against Louisville?
I don't know if 40 minutes, maybe like 30 minutes, and I don't say that in a flippant way. I mean,
right.
I really mean, like, I think, Archie Miller even said yesterday that he feels like, and I think he was talking particularly on the defensive end of the floor, mm-hmm, I think he was talking about, he sort of said, and I forget his exact verbiage, but that he feels like this team's got a stronger sense of its kind of identity and how to play the ways that it wants to play and be confident in the way it wants to play for longer stretches now than it did even a month ago. And it is weird to think that Indiana State was, you know, like 36, 37 days ago.
Yeah.
If you watched Indiana State, then Duke, then Louisville, you'd see three IU losses, and I think you'd see three completely different performances.
Right.
So I don't know if it's a 40-minute performance, but I do think that this team is a lot more at home with, A, what it wants to do, what it should look like, quote-unquote, to get the defensive end of the floor, and B, how to kind of trigger that, how to find that comfort zone, I guess. It's just a question. It still gets kind of chopped up too much, you know, that it'll be good for 5 minutes, and then they'll have a bad 3 minutes, and then they'll have a good 3 minutes and a bad 5 minutes, and it just kind of winds up still feeling very inconsistent, though you do see progress, you know, if you start kind of from the beginning of the season to today.
I know it's early still with your relationship with Archie Miller, but how much does it drive him nuts, his team giving up almost 74 points a game?
Yeah, I mean he's a defense-first coach and always has,
right,
been. I remember talking to his dad, who was a legendary high school coach, won 650-some-odd games in Pennsylvania, four state titles, and his dad clearly was a guy that prioritized kind of defense turning into fast-break offense. And it's funny, and I don't say this flippantly either. Tom Crean obviously had some seasons near the end where Indiana really struggled defensively, and he tried a lot of different things, a lot of different defenses, man-to-man zone, different kinds of zones. At one point, literally even a man-to-man defense that shifted into a zone defense mid-possession sometimes. But the one thing I don't really ever remember Tom trying was the pack line. And so
right. This
is kind of a completely foreign system. And I think, again, I think Archie Miller is getting more comfortable with where his team is. I think he's getting more confident, and I think he's seeing his team growing more. But, you know, you still feel like there's a level, there is kind of a concerted effort not to be satisfied, even not just with the defensive performance, but I mean, we asked him, I asked him after they lost kind of heavy at Michigan in their Big Ten opener, just a few days after a really encouraging Duke performance. I said, was it disappointing after the encouragement of the Duke game to see this? And he said, we didn't beat Duke. I don't want people to walk around here feeling like Duke was a positive. We were up one with 4 minutes left against a great team at home with a great crowd, and we lost. We can't, that can't be good enough. And I think that's just kind of where he's going to be with this team in a lot of different areas, defense in particular, for a while.
Talking to Zach Osterman, who covers IU for the Indianapolis Star. When you look at what Indiana is right now, what maybe are the biggest fundamental differences between Tom Crean's Indiana teams and Archie Miller's Indiana?
Well, I think it is that defensive emphasis, and I'm not trying to kind of, you know, sort of throw coal on Tom or anything like that. His teams were elite at their best at the offensive end of the floor. But they struggle with defense, and they struggle with turnovers too consistently, you know, for that to ultimately prove, you know, manageable over time. This is a team that is turning the ball over a lot less. I mean, it's funny, they've got a turnover rate that's outside the top 100 nationally, and yet it is like more than, I think, 3% or nearly 4%, 3.5%, 4% lower than it was last season. So they're turning the ball over a lot less. They've got a long way to go defensively, but you still, if you saw them play Louisville and you saw them play Indiana State, you'd know how far they've come there. And I think that it's really about being a team, particularly this group that maybe doesn't have the star power of a Yogi Ferrell or the ability, like the last, you know, some of Tom Crean's teams did, to just shoot their way out of a hole. This team doesn't have those things. It's got to start with valuing possessions, whether it be defensively or not turning the ball over and not taking bad shots, frankly, because Indiana's just not a good enough offensive team to compensate for that.
Zach, when Matt Farrell and TJ Gibbs are attacking for Notre Dame at the guard position, that's an indication that this team's really rolling. They're feeling good. They're attacking. They're playing downhill and coming at you. What are some signs that maybe if fans see early in tomorrow's game at Bankers Life Fieldhouse where IU's doing this or maybe that they may be able to give Notre Dame a pretty decent game tomorrow afternoon?
I think, number one, if they can get the post game established. I mean, their two leading scorers are Juwan Morgan and Deron Davis. They're starting forwards, both of whom have really improved rapidly, I think, this season. They both, at times, had foul trouble. But when they've been able to stay on the floor, I mean, Deron Davis was going right at NBA-level bigs against Duke in the second half of that game and scoring almost at will. Juwan Morgan has scored in double figures in six of his last seven. He had 17 and 9 against a really athletic Louisville front court. So if you can get those guys established at the offensive end of the floor, and then if the three-point line is a weapon for Indiana at either end, Notre Dame is a very accurate three-point shooting team. Indiana has had a lot of trouble with three-point defense this season. Indiana also has had a ton of trouble with its own accuracy from behind the three-point line, which is that's maybe one of the biggest sort of statistical surprises. There are guys on this team that are struggling badly from behind the arc that you would not have expected based on kind of their career to this point. If Indiana's either A, going toe-to-toe with Notre Dame at the three-point line, or B, running Notre Dame off of the three-point line and not letting Notre Dame use the three-point line as a weapon, and establishing their front court at the offensive end, Indiana, I think they've got a chance.
That was really my question, was Indiana at the defensive end, because they have given up some threes, and Notre Dame is Notre Dame might not be as good right now by their own standards, but they are still pretty good from the line. How has Indiana struggled so much getting out there and guarding?
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly been some rotation issues, and again, the pack line is like this one sort of mainstream defense that's totally foreign to these guys. And it is a defense that can be, if you don't run it well, because it kind of requires everybody to sag in and take away driving lanes, if you make just one or two mistakes, it's a defense that's really vulnerable from behind the arc, because all of a sudden the whole defense gets out of rotation and you get open shots. But you even look at, like, I mean, Indiana State, as an example, Indiana State shot 17 of 26 from behind the arc in that game, which is better than 65%. On the season, Indiana State is a solid three-point shooting team, certainly not one that you would expect to be that devastating. And I think Indiana's kind of gotten to this place where it's not just about struggling to defend the three. It's also that they've given opponents, whether those opponents statistically feel like they're good at shooting the three, or those opponents statistically maybe are not great at shooting the three, you just give kids confidence to say, even the ones where maybe their shots aren't going down, to say, tonight they will, because I know Indiana, because the scouting report says Indiana's bad at three-point defense. I'm going to get the shots I want tonight. I'm going to get clean looks, and I'm going to knock them down in the way that I know I can. And so suddenly, you're not just giving up some open looks, but you're getting really confident shots, even when you're contesting some of them. And so you feel like all of a sudden even the junk three-pointers are going in. And you just, you know, you sort of feel like, well, what can we possibly do about this? I think Indiana was better against Louisville. But Louisville can't shoot nearly the way Notre Dame can, at least not if you look at the numbers. So I think it's going to be a really big test for Indiana.
Zach, Mike Bray mentioned yesterday, he said when Colin Hartman's playing well and he's in the lineup, he just gives that team so much swagger. What is it about Colin Hartman that gives that team maybe a little bit more confidence playing against a Louisville or Notre Dame than maybe when he's sitting on the bench with an injury?
Well, he's certainly, I think, this team's best leader. I mean, he's one of its most experienced players. I think he's one of its best sort of organizers and court communicators. And look, I know what it sounds like. I've been saying this for 3-4 years now. I know what it sounds like when I say to a 6'7" white kid, you know, he hit threes and makes smart plays and all that. But he does. He does a lot of the dirty work and the kind of stuff that maybe doesn't always show up in the points column. But if you look at the end of the day and he's got like 7 rebounds, or he's 3 of 3 from behind the arc, or he hasn't committed any turnovers in, you know, 4 games, that kind of thing. And I think he's just one of those guys that, even though he's not necessarily a volume scorer or a dominant rebounder or a dominant rim protector, because of his experience, because of his ability to communicate and lead and do all those things very well, when his teammates see him out there on the floor, they're just confident, and they get confidence from him. I think he's kind of been right around the 20-minute mark or so. He had a couple of nagging injuries through the preseason, so they've kind of been easing him back into full fitness, wanting him to be really ready for Big Ten play. If he can play more minutes tomorrow than he's played maybe kind of on the regular these last few weeks, I think it could be an interesting matchup for Bonzi Colton that might free Juwan Morgan up a little bit. And then Hartman's not really a bad defender as long as he's kind of near full strength. I wouldn't be surprised to see Indiana maybe throw in the Colton a little bit tomorrow.
Zach, my last question for you. When it's all said and done, what will constitute a successful season for Indiana this year?
I think, you know, if Indiana gets to February and you can see a team that is markedly different and markedly more competitive than what it was even in the Big Ten opener at Michigan, I think that's a big step. I certainly think if you can start, I mean, it's kind of a weird team because there was a coaching change and yet Archie Miller inherited a 5-man senior class. And they lost 3 guys to the NBA and there's still 5 seniors on this roster on scholarship. So if you can, I think this has been why Juwan Morgan's emergence has been important. If you can also see some younger guys who are going to be juniors and seniors next year, really start to emerge and get comfortable in bigger roles, I think that's promising because the recruiting has been very good and there's some really talented young players on the way. If you can build a foundation where maybe you've got good leadership and good production for those young guys next year, that's positive. And then, you know, if you're Indiana, I mean, they did come close against Duke. Maybe not horribly close, but they were right there. They were right there for a while against Louisville. That game was, I think, down to 3 points with a minute remaining. If they can pick up a couple of those wins, if they could beat Notre Dame tomorrow, or they could maybe, you know, get a couple of Big Ten road wins they aren't expected to, maybe even finish at or above 500 in conference play. Again, Archie Miller wants to be pretty uncompromising in what he expects and what he wants. But I think a lot of people understand that this needs to be a year of transition. And if you can say that Indiana is A, much better as a team at the end of the season than they were even maybe at the start of Big Ten play in early December, and B, that provides an obvious kind of bridge to the future as you've got some really talented young players coming in the next class. I think that's a successful season.
All right. Very good. Thank you very much, Zach. We appreciate your time tonight.
Absolutely. Tom, we'll see you down there tomorrow. Drive safe.
You got it, my man. We'll see you.
Zach Osterman from the Indianapolis Star covering IU basketball. And, of course, as he said, you'll both be down there tomorrow.
That we will. We will be down in Bankers Life Fieldhouse eating all the pizza we would like.
Good pizza at Bankers Life Fieldhouse?
No.
But it's there.
It's there, and you just kind of – I just kind of great. Maybe take a slice every once in a while just to tide me over for – the ride down and then the ride back afterwards.
Will you go early enough for the first game, or you just kind of go to the game you're focused on?
Yeah, no, we'll kind of slide in. Butler and Purdue play at noon. Get there maybe 12:15, 12:20, right after the traffic, and so the traffic's maybe a little lighter, and then get focused and ready for the Irish and the Hoosiers at 2:30.
All right, sounds good.